Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Mean Green Nation Podcast on a very special morning. I don't know what your morning looks like, but right, mine is sunny, sky is blue, and it always feels good on a Sunday morning after a North Texas win. Mr. Aldo Avina, how are you doing? Can you see me, by the way?
I can see you very well. I'm sure my room is dark because I've got all the blinds closed, but I feel like on days like this, you need to have that beautiful morning song playing in the background.
I don't have. I have this. That's what I have.
it's close.
Yeah, so, I mean, the reason I ask what you're seeing is because apparently, like, you forgot you were Mr. Magoo in it from the press box. You couldn't see anything.
All right, so, yeah, I lost my glasses, and then I ran out of contacts. And so I didn't prepare enough to go, you know, refill my contacts or get new glasses.
This a little guy. Difficult. So you said you were like driving around looking for contacts. I imagine that you couldn't see anything. You were just going to like a McDonald's or a Sonic. You guys have any contacts? Like, sir, what? Please leave, sir. All right, so good win. Not the biggest crowd. I think it was something like 19,000 people there. Chalked that up to the fact that the hype ain't really there this time, right? Last year, our first game back after our non-conference games, we had just beat Arkansas. We had steamrolled SMU at home, and we had beaten, what are they called? Incarnate Word pretty bad. So the hype was pretty high, right? Right now, everybody's kind of feeling meh. That SMU loss was pretty terrible. I think it took the wind out of a lot of people's sails. The other thing about that Cal game is, one, nobody really cares about Cal. So not a whole lot of people were watching it or checking for it. It was on, like, Pac-12 Network. And so, you know, it's harder to find than, say, your typical ESPN game.
And it wasn't just on Pac-12 Network. It was on Pac-12 Bay Area.
Yeah, I see. You know, I was at that game, so I didn't know. I didn't have to find it. I wasn't at this game, and that's because I am moving house, as they say in Britain. I'm moving, so I'm packing stuff up, and, I got to experience the terrible, awful stadium on Facebook. Like, one that just, like, you're like, what are we watching it on? Where exactly do I go to watch this? Stadium on Facebook. So you can go to the stadium, you go to the Facebook channel. It's just like, hey, this season is like just random links to old games, like highlights of them. There's no indication that, yes, a game is going to be broadcast tonight and you can watch it. I figured, like, even the one, like, you can go to, like, the school site, right, and just click the link, watch here. But that takes you, again, to Watch Stadium on Facebook or whatever now. But that doesn't give you a link to the game. You actually have to go to watchstadium.com, right, like their website, which is terrible. Up on the right corner, and again, no way of finding this out. You just have to click through it. Click on networks, go down to Conference USA Networks, wait for that to load, because there's no indication that, hey, you're about to get links to this week's games. There's just a bunch of videos loading that are just highlights, right? Again, no kind of rhyme or reason here. Then you click on what doesn't look like a link. It just says, hey, this one's going to be on Facebook! Exclamation point. And so I just clicked on it. That takes you to live college football. And there's no pregame show. There's no warm-up. There's no, like, hey, we're going to be starting a little bit. It's just a screen that says, hey, we're going to be live. And then at, like, 6:30 on the dot, click it. Then it's like, hey, welcome to Stadium on Facebook, whatever. So I hate it. That is stupid. Radio is much better, even though radio is not better than watching a game, because they give you a little pregame before, like, hey, you're listening to the Mean Green Sports Radio Network. We're gonna talk about the game. We're talking about the game. We're at the game. You're on the right channel. You know, all those indicators. Anyway, so that was my complaint about that. Anything to complain about? To make it,
yeah,
easier.
I mean, I agree with you that system is a little bit unintuitive, especially on the Facebook page setup. I mean, it's not organized well. I don't think you can organize it at all, as you know, from the Watch Stadium side. But good news for you, there's only four more left on Stadium.
God. I know. When I saw the season schedule, I was very sad about it. I mean, maybe that's just Ren Baker's way of getting everybody to the game. He's like, look, you either come to the game and have a good time, or you got to watch it on Stadium on Facebook and just navigate through hell, right? Internet hell. Am I glad that we're watching this thing? Yes. But even back in the Sun Belt days, when we were watching a terrible stream and I had to pay $10 to watch a terrible version of Troy's broadcast, I knew where I was going to be and I knew what buttons to click, you know? And like, I'm not a technically unsavvy kind of guy. Like, it was difficult for me to find. I can only imagine those that are less patient with technology, you know?
Those of a certain age.
Yeah, I mean,
but you're getting old, though.
I mean, there's a little bit of that, you know. I was like, you know, I don't know. They just need to stream it to Snapchat or something like that. But I think then, you know, you have all these articles like, how come we're not getting the young people to come to the game? Maybe we should have them on that. Like, I mean, it just, that ain't fun. That ain't fun to watch. That ain't, it's nothing. Whatever. That's enough complaining because we whooped the hell out of UTSA. And, you know, it was great. Let's get the crowd. Everybody's laughing. It's not everybody laughing at UTSA. I mean, I wanted them to run up the score, man. Why didn't they run up the score? I you know, as you said, older alum here, I got to complain about something. Fire the coach. Fire Seth the truck because he didn't run up the score. What are we doing?
Should have been 100 to nothing.
Get out of here. I mean, you know, did you notice like a vibe? Like everybody was just like, they're not even difficult. They're kind of soft. But go ahead. First, say what you were going to say.
Well, I was going to say that they did leave a lot of points on the field.
Yes.
As bad as we beat them. Yeah. Fire. Exactly. there were a lot of missed opportunities there. I mean, it makes you feel good, though. It makes you feel good that we could have scored more. We really disrupted them. And it's a 180 from the past 2 weeks, you know? I've been – I don't like tying my emotions too much to sports, but whatever. I do. And it's just I feel so much better than I did the past 2 weeks.
You know, it's a deal with the devil, this sports fandom thing. My wife likes to ask that question. She's like, you know, why would anybody do this to themselves? And I agree. She's like, this sucks. I hate watching my favorite team play because it sucks. And I'm like, yeah, it does suck. And you do all this, you care for those moments where it feels great, right? And you're just kind of chasing that all the time. Mm-hmm. And it is stupid. It's silly and it's very bad. I mean, I grew up a Spurs fan and you know, when they won the title in 99, right, I was like a kid, it was great. And we've been chasing that high. You know, the second one was like, yeah, this is great, but it was not as great. And all the way to like in 2014 when they last won, I was more relieved that they won, which, you know, it just kind of wore off. I was like, yeah. They won, you know, it's good, but it would have been better if they won in 2013. And yeah, I mean, like it just kind of what happens. Look at this right here, right? Back-to-back 9-win seasons for North Texas. When they went to the bowl game and that other 9-win season with Dan McCartney and Cotton Bowl and whatever, I almost did a little sports cry. You know, I was on the field. It was a great feeling. And now I'm just like, yeah, it was a good win, but, you know, whoa, how come my stadium on Facebook sucks? This is a great win. It was fun. It was fun to beat them down. UTSA is one of those thorns on our side. I think everybody kind of came around to the rivalry thing circa 2013 when they jumped up and beat us at Apogee Stadium. And we talked about that. Justin Brummett was on this show. I think he's like a Cowboys intern or something. I forget he does them. But he was like, I remember him saying, I think I hate UTSA now. He was on the show. And yeah, that was a lot. We had to take that first one, right? Because we could take it. They weren't going to be sad about it. They weren't going to be gut punched about it because, you know, they were just starting a program. They were going to be doing that whole, well, you know, we shouldn't even be here right now because we're just a third-year program, you know, whatever. So we had to take that first loss to hate them. And after that, it wasn't going to be a bad loss until stuff like this, right? Until we beat them now. Did you take any personal satisfaction, right? Did you do a little smirky smirk to make, you know, them lose, to see them lose, to see the beat writer sad?
No comment on that. But, yeah, I mean, I try to side myself on the it's not a rivalry thing because it's not – I feel like it's not, but it kind of is. It all the storylines are there, and it's organic. But, yes, I definitely felt satisfaction. Even though I want to say tell myself that it's not a rivalry, I felt so much satisfaction that we won, and especially in the way we did.
All right, so we're 10 minutes into the show. Let's spend 2 minutes talking about that rivalry thing. What is a rivalry, and why is this not one? Ready to go.
It's being a North Texas fan, mm-hmm. You know, you've never had a real rivalry. It's basically every team that you play is a rivalry game. And that's what you hear week in and week out. Oh, there are rivals because they play in the same conference.
NCAA football says that Arkansas State and Middle Tennessee are rivals.
Yeah, Middle Tennessee, Troy back in the day. Who else? Western Kentucky, this and that. But I feel like finally this has become something because like I said, the storylines were there with Tawaifa, the former linebacker that didn't go that McCartney didn't recruit, that wanted to go to UNT. Them coming up and quote unquote stealing our conference title from us. And then just the back and forth between the fans and between the players that have happened for the past few years, that I think it's finally growing into a real rivalry. And, you know, it doesn't make it a rivalry by you calling it a rivalry, but it does feel like one. ETSA.
So I can understand that, and I'll take a minute and kind of explain my perspective. I mean, no, it isn't a 100-year-old rivalry like Texas Tech A&M or Auburn Alabama or things like that. But those weren't rivalries until they started playing college football, right? They were just whatever. It is born out of, you know, familiarity in history. It has to build up, yes, right? This is a very Conference USA kind of rivalry, right? I was always excited about it because we didn't have anybody that we cared about. Like, you talk to any UNT fan in the time I was there, and there was not a whole lot of fans, right? They're like, hey, do you care about the team? Yes, I know they suck, but do you care about them? Hey, where are you going? Where are you going? Come back. You know, that's how it went. Who do they care about? You kind of want to beat Middle Tennessee because they were our Sun Belt rival. After that, it was kind of... Yeah, everybody was just building up their own program in the Sun Belt and a little bit in Conference USA. So then who do you care about? Who is there to care about? Part of the fun of college football is not only rooting for your team, but rooting against another team, right? Like, I was at Cal's in the stadium. They showed the Stanford score, and that was one of the loudest cheers of the day, right? That is part of the fun. Like, Stanford's losing. Yeah, it's got to be a great day, right? That's fun. And, we don't really have that here, right? You know, like Texas, Oklahoma. It's not in our lifetimes, right? When I'm 75 years old, maybe it'll be a little bit more like of a, like, oh, I can't believe it. I just absolutely hate those guys. It'll be a little bit more like that. Yeah, right now it's not going to be that. So we can call it a rivalry, right? But let's not call it a rivalry, you know, TM and give it a name and all this other goofy stuff, right? Let's not be super capitalistic about it and let them take it away and brand it and whatever and make it something on the same line, because then like MLS tries to do this, like it's rivalry weekend, it's the, you know, the Cascadia show, and you're like, what, whatever, man, it's not none of that, right? But what it is that, yeah, there's the seeds of it, and I always knew that was going to be the case. For me, I think it's interesting that North Texas and UTSA are very similar schools, right? 30,000 roughly students, near big media place, yeah, relatively speaking, in Texas. There's a North Texas versus South Texas thing, right? Dallas and San Antonio. There's a lot of similarities. It used to be considered commuter school, but now they're trying to be whatever. There's a lot of similarities between them that I think it kind of makes for a natural kind of tension, and that is fun, right? You always know there's going to be something to that. And I think rivalries, if you look at like the history of like derbies, right, in soccer or something like that, they come from proximity, right? Like the Juventus and Torino, right? That's kind of a rivalry. Like Barcelona and Espanyol, because they're both in Barcelona, right? But then also competition, right? Barcelona and Real Madrid. Barcelona and a little bit Atletico Madrid. And then you have like the just kind of the recently this team has been pretty good, and we, you know, like some of those are just like newer, like Milan and Juventus or something like that. Like, it, you know, this is a team that's recently been very good, and so we kind of get up and excited to play them.
Well, my next comment was going to be about, you know, geography. When we were in Sunbelt, you know, we didn't have a close team to be a rival with. You know, Middle Tennessee is several states away. and Rice, you know, it just the schools don't compare. So you don't, there's not really a rivalry that can foment there. It's Rice versus North Texas.
Yeah, because they're like a private school, right? Yeah, they're small. Right, there's 10 guys and they're all your bosses. Yeah.
And you know, a team like UTSA or UTEP or you know, UTEP is super far away. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a 12-hour drive, 10-hour drive from here. And so UTSA was the last one left, and it kind of just, like I said, organically started to form that rivalry. Kind of like Auburn's just down the road from Alabama. Texas and Texas A&M were a few hours away. Oklahoma, Texas, a few hours away. It's there.
Yeah, you're likely to encounter a UTSA grad or supporter or fan just kind of in your everyday life, right? Like I work downtown San Antonio, and I got a whole bunch of UTSA fans or whatever and alumni, and they're all varying levels of interest. Some people care real hard. Some people don't, right? Some people are like, oh, yeah, do we have a team? And so that's, you know, it's fun to kind of just talk about it that way because usually nobody cares, right? Like, if you walk around, you're like, what school is that? North Texas? I mean, I don't know who they are. So it's hard to even get into the football game, right? If you can casually have a conversation with somebody that cares a little bit about another Conference USA team, that's part of the fun. And really, honestly, there's a lot of Oklahoma and Texas fans that they're friends, right? They're married, and it's a fun rivalry. nobody really hates it that much, except the crazies like in Alabama. Like,
whoa, these colors don't run.
Yeah, whatever. They're burning trees down, whatever. Those are crazy people. Anyway, all that was fun. So I get to lord over some of my coworkers, and I might give them like a 45-3 shirt and say, wasn't that fun? Did you enjoy the game? So there it is, right? That was fun to beat them because, you know, it's fun to lord over, you know, like I said, your fellow Conference USA fan for a little bit. It was just great to do that. 45-3, our first blowout win. It felt almost as good as that, 42-6 win over SMU a few years ago. That was real fun. Same kind of deal. Let's not get blown out to this team ever, because I couldn't take it. Let's talk about it. Offense. We'll go through all the positions. that sounds funny. We'll go through all of the. just got it. Just
this
listen
is a
to
family
myself.
Show.
Yeah.
There's a delay, people. There's a delay.
Let's go through the offense. The groupings. Offense played well, ran all over them. 290 yards. I have the stats right here in front of me. 290 yards on 44 carries. Trey Siggers, 14 carries, 143 yards, 2 scores, 10 yards a carry. DeAndre Torrey, 10 carries, 62 yards, a score, 6.2 yards per carry. Longest is 22. And then there was your garbage time runs, right? Jason Bean, 34 yards. Easily 25 yards. Nick Smith, 17 yards. Evan Johnson, 14 yards. But when it counted, they ran all over this team. And I think you highlighted this, or you mentioned this in kind of your notes getting into the game, that was something you saw, right?
Yeah. So, you know, they poorly defended the run against Baylor. They poorly defended the run against Army. And I thought, okay, well, this is an opportunity for us to come in there and establish the run. And I was thinking that Siggers would get a couple of scores over 100 yards, and DeAndre Torrey would factor in there as well. So it all came to fruition, meaning they knew what to do, and they knew how to do it, and they executed, which has been something that we've talked about, that they haven't been executing very well. And so that's awesome. during the press conference, I did ask Siggers if this was part of the game plan, or, you know, the emphasis on the run during this game, or if it was Flo, I think, one of the questions you wanted me to ask. And he said, yeah, it was part of the game plan, something they saw on tape, and they wanted to exploit that.
Yeah, I mean, I mentioned this in the preview. We were going to talk about this in the preview that we didn't get to because...
our children.
Crazy kids. They got ran over by Baylor. Like, Baylor was just the quarterback was chucking dudes. And I was like, man, is Baylor this good, right? Baylor was averaging like 60 a game. So I was like, yeah, maybe Baylor's just a monster, right? And we should, you know, prepare to find a team that's actually pretty good. Army ran all over them, but Army runs all over everybody. So it's very, very difficult to gauge this kind of defense. But it turns out they suck. The tackling was terrible for UTSA. And, I mean, that it's already hard to tackle Trey Siggers. But when you're trying to tackle him and then you suck at tackling, well, yeah, you get run, you get gashed for 50 yard bombs every time. So that was great to see. This team has an identity now. I mentioned this in the preview that right around four games, you know what your team's going to be, right? It's not going to appreciably change over the next for the rest of the season, right? They've been practicing for, you know, all of August, right? And now this is regular season. This is the team, and I'm fine with it, right? We're not Frank Wilson said they used to be kind of air raid, but now they're more spread, and that's not necessarily true, but it is true. Our identity is not throwing the ball, right? You look at last night, Mike Leach saying we're gonna throw the ball, 9 touchdown passes for the quarterback. They are going to throw the ball. That's their bread and butter. Us, it's not a bread and butter, right? We can't say, hey, when times get tough, we know we can put the ball in Mason Fine's hands because he's going to find a receiver. And but no, we don't know that. We were complaining about this last week. It's like, who's he going to throw to? Jared Shorter? Sometimes those are drops. I don't know. There's not a connection, especially now Rico Buss is out for the season. I don't know if we've mentioned that.
Oh, yeah. Rico Buss is out for the season, yo.
There's nobody there, right? I like Mike Lawrence, but 5 catches, 58 yards. I mean, that's not putting a fear in anybody. Jalen Darden can take it to the house, but 4 catches, 27 yards, touchdown in garbage time. You know who they're game planning for? Trey Siggers, 14 carries, 143 yards. Very difficult to tackle. And that's fine. Let's run the ball, and we'll throw the ball when we need to move the chains. You know, as we get some yards, do a little play action. Jair Shorter can catch those kinds of touchdown passes. I'm fine with that. Right, Mason Fine's a good quarterback, but we don't need him throwing 89 times a game. In fact, I think if we're throwing 89 times a game, we're probably going to lose. So I'm glad to see.
You know, we kind of saw this coming with Eastern Washington, the offensive coordinator's previous school, and we expected this because he had a 200 plus attempt rusher. There, I'm blanking on his name, and then they passed to the running backs a lot. So you kind of thought, okay, are they going to change those wrinkles when they come here? You know, add more passing. But no, he's just doing what he liked to do over there. But you know, Siggers has yet to get more than 20 carries a game. You know, last night he got 14, and the previous two he got 18. So I think he's on a you know, limited carry kind of thing. But we haven't had these kinds of rushers since I think the last one was 2013. As I'm flipping through some web pages here, 2013 was Brandon Byrd. He had 202 attempts. So it's not something that we've done in a long, long time. Go through the running back, but hey, it's working, you know, and you know, you don't want to mess it up.
Yeah. I mean, I think they did a good job sharing the load, right? 24 carries for the running back position for 200 yards rushing, right? For Siggers and Torrey combined. Also, DeAndre Torrey, 3 catches through the air for 60 yards, right? So that is good. A little screen game action. It was great to see some screens. I think North Texas knows that people are going to attack Mason Fine. I've been complaining that we haven't seen a great screen game to take some pressure off of off the offensive line in the pass rush, in the pass protection thing. And we saw it. It was great. It was great to see. I mean, Torrey can take it to the house from anywhere, right? So get the ball in his hands quick and let him go make a play. Darden, same kind of deal. He's not going to run a 15-yard dig and, you know, make a catch that way. Get him the ball in space on a short pass and then go deep. So we need, again, Shorter, Greg White, Deontay Simpson, to win the ball downfield and extend the play. If we can get a little bit of that vertical threat, I think we'll be all right. That's the one thing missing from this offense right now, I think. We don't have anybody that threatens the defense deep over the top. But with a little play action, man, that'll kind of solve that problem.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I was kind of mentioning in the preview or that live blog and that Mason Fine's numbers would artificially go down, his averages, just because of that. You know, we're not stretching the field down successfully. But Darden and Michael Lawrence have been catching a lot of passes underneath the tight ends we saw in the first game. And that's kind of the emphasis of this offense. So artificially his numbers will go down, but it's going to be, you know, he had almost 70% passing last night for that reason. And, you know, they were making big gains. Michael Lawrence was breaking tackles. Darden was making some good catches. So there's no worries there. I mean, one of those guys will eventually step up if it's not this season, maybe next season with a new quarterback. But with the run game performing as well as it is, it takes a little bit of the pressure off of Mason Fine to have to get those 3 yards on a 3rd-and-3. Mm-hmm. You know, you can give it to Easley or you can give it to Siggers and they can run for that amount or pass it to a guy like Torrey and he'll get, you know, 3 or 60 yards.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I think to put it all in a bow again, if we line up, we think, you know what, nobody can stop us if we line up in our base set, 11 personnel, right, running back, tight end, and 3 wide receivers. Nobody can stop us on our power run game right now. We can chug down the field and get a touchdown that way. And you're going to have to do something funky. And when you do something funky, we're going to slip it out to Darden or, you know, we'll get somebody one-on-one on the outside, right? We'll find Mike Lawrence or somebody. And that's how we'll beat you. I'm fine with that being the basis of the offense because there's not a whole lot of good defenses in this league right now. Like UAB's pretty good. Southern Miss, fairly good. Beyond that, we got like Tech. They always kind of beat themselves, right? Looking at the rest of this division. UTEP, no. Rice, they're going to be tough, but they're not there yet. And then we already beat UTSA, who's terrible, right? I was concerned about UTSA running the ball around. We'll talk about this in another like 5 minutes. We'll talk about the defense, but this team played the way we expected them to play, right? And I'm excited about talking about the defense because there's some fun stats here. But again, offense: 500 yards, 211 pass yards, 290 rush yards, 25 first downs, 7 of 14 on third downs, 0 of 2 on fourth. But 70 plays, 7.2 yards per play, 6.6 yards per rush. I think there were some sacks. We lost some sacks. I don't have those numbers in front of me.
I don't have that.
And I mean, that was basically, there was a fumble, right? I think somebody like bobbled the ball or something like that, but it's not a big deal.
Yeah, Siggers lost it. And then was it Mose that just palmed it and thought, oh, I'm going to go for 70.
Now's my chance. that was pretty intense. Everybody kind of was like audibly shocked. Like, oh, look at this guy. I mean, I don't know. Seth Atrell called it, right, in the post game and in like the locker room video. The most complete game. He said everybody gets a game ball, right, because everybody played well. And, I mean, he's right. I'm looking at up and down this thing, and I don't see any point where we can say, well, this is very bad, right? Like Mason Fine was not under duress the whole time. There was a couple of drops, but whatever. We went down and scored. We shut him down, you know. I think, did we miss a field goal? Yeah, we missed.
Yeah, there was one missed field goal, and it wasn't that far of a field goal. So, I don't know. We haven't seen enough field goals to know if that's an aberration or something that we need to be worried about. But at that point, you know, Mason Fine was calling for the ball. He wanted to continue driving, which is, you know, I'd say go for it. I was expecting them to go for it because they were at the, I don't know, 30-yard line at UTSA's 30. So, it's a little surprising that they did kick a field goal.
So, looking next week against Houston, right, offensively speaking, I think that we can do a lot of the same things, right? Tulane just beat Houston. Houston's coming off of a very terrible loss at Tulane where they had the lead, and Tulane just kind of made a comeback, just playing smarter and executing better and getting a little fortunate. And then previous to that, Houston lost against Washington State, a very good Washington State that can throw the ball around. So Houston's defense is a little bit vulnerable.
It's the worst in the American Athletic Conference.
Yeah. But I don't know how we match up against them. I like our run game against them. I think every week we're going to say the same thing, right? So we'll say it again. I like the way our run game can compete pretty much against anybody, right? Anybody the rest of the way. I am a little bit concerned about our pass game in certain situations, right? We need 8 to 10 grabs and 100 yards from our X and Z receivers. And that is Jair Shorter, that's Deonhair Griffin, and Deontay Simpson, or whoever else they put in there, right? Because we don't have Rico Bussey. Rico Bussey was good for about 150, 100 yards, you know, 8 catches or something like that on a good day. Right now, we don't necessarily have that. And you're looking at our X receivers right here. Jair Shorter, 1 catch, 20 yards. Greg White, 1 catch, 13 yards. Deontay Simpson, 1 catch, 12 yards. Deonhair Griffin, 1 catch, 11 yards. This is a very unusual game, so this is not necessarily going to be – it's not a one-on-one comparison. But those targets, right, Shorter targeted 3 times, only one catch. Deontay Simpson targeted 3 times, 1 catch. Deonhair Griffin targeted 2 times, 1 catch. I think before the game, I was like, DHG over here targeted like, 13 times, only 3 catches for 36 yards on the season. Not good. Not good. That's where we need to step up.
You look down the list and you don't get confidence in okay, he's the guy that will, when it's not, this isn't working, he's going to take over the game and help us out. You know, they're not the Rico Bussey. So that is concerning, you know, especially when we're going against a team like Houston, they're going to run all over us. Our secondary, you know, UTSA had a lot of guys open frequently, but the quarterback just wasn't connecting. So we need a way to like score quick or, you know, a guy that can just get open at will, make a play for us, move the chains and keep the clock moving. I don't think we have that.
Yeah. We're working on that. Let's talk about the defense. For the game, UTSA actually, you know, they had a nice little yardage total, right? 295. Held them under 300, which is nice. That's two games in a row. I think we held Cal to like 268. So this is not bad. 2 weeks in a row that the defense has been playing very well, albeit against some questionably organized offenses, right? Cal is ranked their like top 25 team, right? They're in the, I think they might be in the teens now after beating Ole Miss on the road. But I don't think they're that good, especially offensively, right? There are questions there. Garber is not the cleanest passer, although he threw for 300 yards against Ole Miss. Ole Miss is very terrible. Let's not forget that. Whatever. This defense has some vulnerabilities, and that's in the allowing the quarterback to run, to scramble. That just kind of, you're always going to give up something, right? Something's going to be a weak point, and that's ours. And that's not terrible because their quarterback ran for 98 yards. I think Garber's last week ran for like 70, almost 80 or something like that. But if the quarterback's running 15 times, 98 yards, and no scores, fine, right? You held them to under three, to under 10, right? Single digits. We held Cal for 3 quarters to 3 points. Held UTSA 4 quarters, 3 points. 7 quarters, only 6 points, no touchdowns, right? That's pretty good. No matter who you're playing, right? Because somebody could always break off a touchdown. I expected Sincere McCormick to break off a touchdown, you know, sometime. We had backups in there. Still nothing. 62 yards for the talented freshman Sincere McCormick. 16 carries, 62 yards. But it all came mostly on that 20-yard run where he broke like 3 tackles. What did you make of the defensive run game there, man?
Against the run game itself, it was solid. You know, we were swarming on the outside because that's where McCormick liked to take it. We were for the most part containing our seats, but the occasional big run we allowed was because we were being too aggressive around the edges, and then our seats just had a big hole and it could go 42 yards. And he's a fast guy, and both, you know, Cal and UTSA, they've got running quarterbacks, and UTSA in particular, they use the quarterback in the run game, and we were, you know, I'd say 50-50. They hurt us with the quarterback, but we were able to contain the designed runs. The scrambles, we weren't. And this worries me about Houston. We weren't able to contain the scrambles.
Yeah, Derek King has something like 15 straight games with a running touchdown and a passing touchdown. Like, he's good. He's better than these teams. They're going to score against us, and I don't want to be like, oh, man, what happened to this defense? Houston's better. They're better offensively. Derek King's a good quarterback. He's more explosive and dynamic in the open field. I don't know if y'all saw the highlight when I think Tulane had a safety running at Derek King, who was standing still. And Derek King just deked him out of his shoes and then sprinted very fastly up the field. And, you know, proceeded to do a bunch of people in and got into the end zone for like a 45-yard run, right? And yeah, a touchdown. He's good. I think the key is going to be keeping him, like, instead of being 42 yards, right, where he does everybody in, make those 20 yards, right? And instead of 15 yards, make them 8 yards. And, you know, make him run 20 times and for 112 yards. Like, that is better because you're going to hit him. He's going to be tired. And that is better than them executing their offense and running where they want to run. Make him run when they weren't expecting to run, right? But overall, I think our defense is fast, and that's great to see. Nobody ever looks like they're out of place. Like, a lot of times he's outrunning linemen. Okay, that happens, right? The quarterback. But once he gets into the secondary, the linebackers and the safeties, we're there. We close it down. We tackle him, right? That's what happens. That is good. That's what we want.
Yeah, and, you know, you got it pretty closely. You know, I do expect him to run for about 15, 17 times for over 100 yards, maybe a couple of scores against us. But if we keep it at that and we try to keep him, you know, from passing a touchdown or pick him off one or two times, I think that will keep us in the game next week. Mm-hmm. As you can tell, I'm not holding up hope, but I just want to be competitive against these guys.
Yeah. So just again, let's go through some of the, like, we held UTSA, Narcisse 16 of 36, 124 yards, 2 interceptions. Some of those were like their own fault, right? Like, they're just, one was a bad throw. The other one, I think he threw it too hard at his receiver. The ball was tipped, interception. There were a couple times where his man had a step on our guys. And we talked about this against SMU, right? Shane Buechele was putting the ball where it needs to be put, right? And there was not a whole lot our defensive backs could have done. And we're like, oh, they're getting beat out there. There were a couple times they got beat, right, by a couple steps. They just got beat in the play. But, you know, a lot of times SMU was putting the ball right where it needs to be put, and there's nothing they could do about it. SMU, by the way, it pains me to say, beat TCU, and they were wearing also the Dallas SMU thing. So they've beat us both, TCU and UNT, and so they are now the Kings of Dallas, it turns out. besides,
I don't
all
have
that,
anything to say there.
Yeah, I mean, an SMU might, I don't know, they might get ranked at 4-0, whatever. Like, we played with them for 3 quarters, right? We got punched in the mouth in 1 quarter. It could be that we're a lot better team than we thought we are, based on the competition's rankings, whatever. But I don't really think Cal is that much of a complete team, and I really don't think SMU is that complete of a team either. I think we play SMU, you know, in 2 weeks, it'll be a much different game. For a lot of reasons, but whatever. This team, you know, like, we got beat. We executed. Some of this is because UTSA sucks. I think I looked at it last night. Since since the last time we played them at Apogee and we got the miracle win, they scored 26 points in that game. UTSA did. Since that point, they've scored 30 or more 3 times in 23 games. They've also scored in the single digits 9 times in that span. And that is some Dan McCartney football right there, you know, like, where touchdowns are rare. Go ahead.
In a different way, like in Dan McCartney football, because they just run it all the time and that was what they did. And this is different because they're not intending to to not pass.
They want to pass the ball. Yeah, 36 passes here. Yeah. Just to put a bow on my point, and then I'll let you finish yours, is they are not good, and so we need to remember that. Like, but, you know, you're a solid defense or a good defense when you can hold a bad offensive team to terrible totals, right? 3 points, 295 yards. You picked him off twice. That kind of deal. That's good, right? That means that we're good. If we were a bad defense and we allowed this team to score and do some things, then you start worried, right? Like, ugh, we couldn't even stop a terrible offense, right? So that's what I'm getting at. But yeah, your point.
Yeah, well, I was going to quickly say, I agree with you, what you're saying. You know, we did on defense, North Texas did what they were supposed to do, and that's a good sign. And as far as UTSA's offense goes, I mean, I feel like Frank Wilson was in the hot seat last year. He's definitely on the hot seat this year. But does UTSA have the money? I don't know how long he's got on his contract to just fire him outright.
You know, I'm not overly familiar with that situation, but I got it. They have a new AD, right? Lisa Campos. I got to think that they're looking at it and like, you know, like you said, at least somebody's saying, hey, intern, can you pull me the report on this contract? You know, let's just get those numbers on my desk, you know, for shiggles. So, yeah, here's the deal about this, right? They have not been able to find a quarterback. And that sucks. We know what that's like, right? We went through that kind of that song and dance after Derek Thompson graduated. There's a lot of similarities, right? Derek Thompson graduated, tried to find a quarterback for a couple of years, finally get Mason Fine. You know, they had what Dalton Sturm, guy went to the NFL for a cup of coffee, right? And then they've been trying to find a quarterback since. They thought they had one in Frank Harris, but he keeps getting injured. This is why it's important, I think, to get Jason Bean, to get Austin Ani, and Kason Martin. And I think we're just going to redshirt him this year. Kason Martin, these kinds of reps. This is why I think they need to be out there and doing things, because we need to be ready. We need to be ready not only for, you know, Mason Fine injury or something like that, but also for next season, right? I don't want Jason Bean's first meaningful snap to be, you know, day one, play one, next season against whoever. I want it to be, yeah, you know, I've thrown a couple touchdown passes before in you know, in a game, even though the game was over with and done. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I wanted. Like, he knows what game speed feels like.
Right, he knows the flow, the speed, how the calls are coming in, looking at adjustments and this and that. And, yeah, you don't want him to be in season one, you know, next year, learning that on the fly. And a game like last night where, you know, you were expecting to have time to put in a backup, you get that opportunity and it's almost a full quarter in. Or left in the game where you see him, which is one, great, because that means we're dominating, and two, awesome that the coaches are doing this. They're intentionally giving these guys the opportunity to get some in-game experience.
Yeah. So, I mean, this is what I'm saying. I don't want to be like UTSA in the future where we're like, well, this quarterback can throw to the right. This one can't throw to the left, which is basically, you know, you have no quarterback at that point. I think the other thing that's interesting about UTSA, because they were kind of known for being good defense, right? That's gone. They, you know, they might have the worst defense in the league, and certainly in the division right now. You know, because you look at some of these other scores, like UTEP, they had pretty solid defense. Rice was holding Baylor down. They only scored 21 against Rice yesterday. UAB obviously has a good defense. Tech, we know, has a talented defense, right? Amik Robertson, et cetera, et cetera. UTSA might be the worst defensive team in this division, and you know, they used to be good. That's what I'm getting at. I think it's firing time for UTSA, which you know, I think I saw on Conference USA Twitter there some fans speculate maybe we get Graham Harrell in here, which would be awful for a number of reasons. But yeah, that's kind of the deal. That's also, I mean, some of those things we've been thinking about, right? We might make a coaching change, you know, out of necessity for the good reasons. Like, Cecil Trails, like, well, I've won all I can here. It was, you know, happy Trails. And so then we're finding a guy to continue it. But we might be competing at the end of the season with UTSA, who's saying, please, somebody come resurrect this program. So interesting note there as we put UTSA to bed, I think. Anything else we want to mention? That was the defense. It's now time to talk about something else.
No, I mean, just to echo what Littrell said, we finally played a complete game. You've seen in the past several games the defense start to put it together, especially on the front lines, and then the offense starting to slowly get into rhythm. And it took a quarter, but mm-hmm. they were finally able to become consistent, stop getting in their way. And it was a chippy game too. I tweeted about how there was I think it was like a tackle or a guard holding Hamilton, pulled him down to the ground, and then laid on top of him. and the ref was right there, and Hamilton was looking at the ref for a flag, which wasn't coming, and so he just tried to stand up. The lineman tried to keep him down, and then he just flipped him off his back, and that's where the flag came.
That's where you do the squats, man.
Yeah, it was impressive.
What was I going to say? I just got a text. I didn't go through these stats. Let me just run through them real quick. KD Davis, 9 tackles, 2 solo. Deion Noble played a great game. I mean, he was blowing up things. I think UTSA had a couple, like, you know, we play with 3 linemen a lot, right? We had 3 down linemen, so Noble's playing a nose tackle. And they did, you know, a little counter thing where they pulled the guard and tackle on the right side. They pulled him over, so the center's supposed to seal, right? We were already kind of flowing, right? And so basically, Noble ends up on the right side. Center is sealing him to his left, and then you got the guard and tackle pulling around. Right, it's a great way to get a hole in there. And Noble, you know, got off his block, chased down the runner, and got at his ankles, and then allowed the safety to come up and clean it up. Like UTSA got a nice little gain there, but that's the kind of thing that is small, goes unnoticed. But that's a quality play, right? Like, it was a shouldn't play. Like, you're blocked up. You shouldn't be able to get there. He did get there and limited the play. What could have been easily 15-yard run, right, becomes like a 7-8-yard run. And you're like, well, 7-8-yard run, that ain't good. But it is good, again, when you compare it to that, right?
Yeah, it's the difference between, you know, allowing a first down or potentially forcing a punt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he chased down Narcisse a couple times. Just all good. All good stuff from him. You can tell why he's starting. He played well. 8 tackles from him. He had a QB hurry. Tackle for loss. Cam Johnson played well. Kyrie Muhammad played really well. He had some real good coverage a couple times. Michael Sanders, I think he was kind of highlighted a couple times. He played well. Tyreek Davis didn't really show up on the stat sheet or was not kind of there, but, I mean, that's good. A lot of times when guys are not highlighted or not making all the tackles, it doesn't mean they didn't play a bad game. A lot of times it means they were where they're supposed to be, right? They filled the gaps they were supposed to, and, you know, running back had to bounce it somewhere else or somebody else got the actual tackle. But good stuff all over the place. And is it Kevin Wood was from Converse, right? Converse is right outside of San Antonio. It's basically San Antonio, right? It's like saying Northridge in the Hills, right, in Dallas or something like that. It's all San Antonio. He's from Converse, you know. Stole him from there. He went to Judson. Frank Harris went to Samuel Clemens. The rivals, high school rivals. Little bet you didn't know kind of deal.
I did not know that.
So yeah. By the way, Judson. I think Judson and Steele played last night. It was a big local game and Friday night or something. Anyway, good stuff. Again, all the way through the defensive side of the ball. 5 QB hurries, right? KD Davis had 2 of them. Ladarius Hamilton played well, but his stat line is not really amazing. 3 tackles, 1 solo, no hurries, no sacks, no nothing like that. But he was involved. He created pressure. He broke down the pocket. Good stuff from him. A lot of good stuff from everybody. I mean, I don't even know what else to say. I feel like Seth the Trail here. Like, everybody played well. Game ball goes to everybody, right? Good job, everyone.
Yeah, no, another key stat is that we'd held them to, oh, I had that number right here, to looking for third down conversions here. 6 of 20 third down conversions.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. They had what? They were 1 of 4 in third and long, like 9 plus. 4 of 8 in third and short, and 0 of 1 on, anything else.
And that was like our Achilles heel, those third and long plays for several years. Is that, you know, 3rd and 15, that means they're going to convert. And they did. But now we were able to do our jobs and get the stop.
do your job. How do we feel about this Houston game? Let's talk about that for a second.
You know, I respect Houston. They're a good offense. King is a good quarterback and definitely super mobile, so he's going to be very difficult. If we lose this game, it's because King took over the game, ran all over us, and scored several touchdowns. If we're able to contain it, that will make the difference between us being competitive in this game and Houston just taking over.
Yeah, man, I think I'll look at it a little bit more and kind of look at Houston a little bit more before I make my official prediction. I think we can beat them. I think I had us down as a loss. Just, I think they're just too talented. And basically, I look at it this way, right? Like, rule of thumb. If our defense is young and inexperienced, they can be taken advantage of by an experienced quarterback who's talented. And that's what Houston has. And that's what I'm afraid. They also have a good offensive mind, Dana Holgorsen. And, you know, where is that important? It's good in those adjustments, right? You can recognize something happening. You've seen it before, and you have an answer for it. Like, oh, they're defending this. They're stopping us this way, right? They're bracketing that guy. Here's an answer. Here's an adjustment. Here's how we can change that. You know, Dana Holgorsen has been doing that forever. You know, he's been putting up points at West Virginia, at Houston when he was the offensive coordinator. No, as a head coach again. And he has the tools at his reach there, right? Derek King's talented. Houston's talented. Everything else as a head coach putting stuff together is a little bit different, but you can see it. It's a little bit like this Chip Kelly thing last night. This UCLA Washington State game. They only scored 14 points in every game leading up to this, but they just kind of put it all together. They scored 50 points in the second half, right? Came back from a 32-point deficit, and you can see it. It just finally clicking. Sometimes it just kind of takes. It just needs to click. So. That's why I'm a little bit afraid of Houston.
And with you know, to that point is Holgorsen wants to pass the ball. He's an air raid guy, and, you know, they've been giving Derek King about nearly 30 passes per game, but he's only completing 50% of his passes. I think his average is 52% completions, and he's only getting a little over – I'm trying to look for yards per game. He's only getting between 150, 200 yards per game. It's not a whole lot for an air raid team, and certainly not for passing it nearly 30 times a game. So that has not, you know, that part of the offense has not clicked. He's not doing air raid stuff there. And as soon as that clicks, and you know, you have that fear, as soon as that clicks, that'll be a problem for us. He's been relying on the run game. Holgorsen has been relying on King's running abilities so far.
Well, I will say this, that I know Holgorsen did say, like, at the press conference after the Washington State game, that he was like, you know, I've changed a little bit. Like, I don't throw the ball as much as, say, Mike Leach does. He likes to run the ball a lot. They like to do a little bit different things. But the air raid philosophy there, which is, I said this before, it's more like find the simplest way to beat the other team, right? It's kind of like an attitude and not necessarily a set of plays. So, hey, if this works and we can exploit it and we can just quickly adopt it and it's going to put our guys in space and score points, let's do it. So in that way, you know, again, that's why I'm afraid of them, because they'll find something, right? You look at Sonny Dykes, that's why they have a powerful offense, why he's had powerful offenses pretty much everywhere he's been. Is, you know, because they line up in that full house set, and you're just kind of like, what, aren't they an air raid team, right? Where they got two running backs tight back there, they're doing this H-back stuff. It's because they found a weakness in the defense, and they're exploiting it. And they can go fast out of this set. You're unbalanced. You don't know where you're going. You can be attacked anywhere. They get your guys on an island. That's essentially, again, the air raid philosophy. Where can we get our guys the ball in space and attack you at your weakest point? That's what I'm afraid, because I think we have some weak points still, right? And he's a guy that's likely to find them, and they have the talent, Derek King, where they will exploit it.
Well, and, you know, to that, I think Reffitt's a really good defensive coach, and, you know, you know, part of the reason that, okay, so yeah, sure, I would have liked to play SMU later on in the season. It would have been a better win, but they did exploit a lot of weaknesses, like you said, which then the defense, or Troy Reffert, went back to the drawing board and said, okay, we need to fix these things. They were running all over us on the edges. We've been containing that since then. So I guess there's some appreciation there for that game. So we've got good coaches, and they're smart, and they see our weaknesses, and they're doing things to contain those weaknesses.
And that's all we can ask for, right? As fans, we want our team to look competent, right? We want to go out there, be entertained, put a good product on the field, look like they're playing a modern form of the game, right? And that's what we, you know, sort of, like, it's not coming out of my pocket directly, but sort of is. That's what we pay these guys for, right? To sit there and watch a lot of football film and think of ways to put these guys into better positions so we can go out there and win the game. So far, so good, right? We're 2-2. Beat an FCS team, beat a conference opponent, which is always nice. And you know, we had a couple losses. Cal's a solid team. It's not terrible to lose to Cal. It's not terrible to lose to SMU, even though it is terrible to lose to SMU. I like where we're going. We can beat Houston. That'll be kind of a makeup game for that SMU game. And beyond that, we have all our goals in front of us. And I know, I realize I sound like Seth Luttrell a lot, right?
Everything's in front of us, team, right? You know, we want to go out there and win, be the best we can be, and whatever. But it's true.
All of it's in front of us. This conference, it's very winnable. UAB is probably the most complete team that's out there, but they're not the same team that whooped us last year. You know, they have some weaknesses there. Louisiana Tech, same kind of deal. They have some weaknesses. That's going to be in Ruston. But we get UAB at home. This Houston game is going to be at home. I think we'll get a good crowd out there next week. I don't know if it's going to be 30,000, but I think it'll be a solid crowd. And that's the kind of stuff we need. I mean, you know, like, I feel good about where we are, like you said, but I don't feel great. I mean, I don't have the same enthusiasm as I did last year after we beat Arkansas and everything was flying high and, you know, everybody was talking about Mason Fine and whatever. This team is not perfect right now, and that's fine. You don't need to be perfect to win this league, but I think we need to win the league. That's what we need.
Yeah, definitely. It would be a disappointment as weak as this conference is that for us not to get a win. As far as attendance for next week, I think with the excitement of this win, you know, in the fashion that we did it, I think if we would have won with, like, by a field goal, I don't think there would be as much excitement. But yeah, the way we did it, plus Houston coming in, I think we could get 4,000 or 5,000 more fans. I mean, 19,000 is paltry. It is bad. And we should be able to be averaging 24,000 people in those stands every game.
I wonder what the cause was. I didn't see as much hype or as advertisement for this game as I saw for the last UTSA game, you know, last year, or for even the Tech game last year. I thought it was a little under marketed, and maybe it was a little bit like, hey, we kind of, you guys know about it, you should come out here and do it. So maybe some of it is just enthusiasm. Everybody had saw what happened at SMU and just a little sad about it. I don't know. It's a combination of all those. Like, maybe each one of those things loses you 2,000 fans, right? No marketing, 2,000 fans. So instead of 25,000, it's 23. Terrible performance leading up to this point. So 2,000 more fans leave, right? And then you're like, oh, well, I'm just not enthused about it because I've kind of seen it, done it, another 2,000.
Yeah, and the fact that Houston is a more marketable team than UTSA, hopefully that will make people more enthusiastic, or at least, hey, let's go check out this one game. I'm not going to go to any other game, but because Houston's coming, I'm going to go check out that game.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak for myself and also say that, yeah, I usually make it up for, you know, a handful of games or whatever. I've been limited because of, like I said, I'm doing stuff, right? I can't make it. Can't do it. So it could be that just everybody's, I don't know, buying a house, having a baby, making traveling. Preparing for the recession. I don't know, man. A lot of stuff could happen and is happening. Maybe they forgot their contacts also.
I will have them, hopefully, by next weekend.
that's, but again, good team. We're in a good spot. I like it. I feel good. It's a great day. We won. We won. We'll sort of, just like a programming note, we'll sort out that live blog thing. I don't know what happened. Like, Aldo was posting and it was going to like weird locations. I was like, what the hell? So we'll fix it. We'll fix it for next time. It was something we tried to turn on kind of last minute. I know nobody cared, but I saw a handful of people clicked on it. And so if you were like, yeah, I can get behind a live blog or just kind of an open thread, we'll sort it out. We'll fix it. In the meantime, you just follow along on Twitter, and that should be sufficient. Is next week on like CBS Sports Network or something like that?
That's correct.
Good. A real network. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'd like to see. I don't have to hunt around. Maybe I can actually have a watching party. Because I don't think I can make it up for Houston either. Because I'm going to be moving. In case you're wondering, moving. That's what it is. I'm moving from one house to another house. Getting all my stuff. Putting it in a truck to go to another place and taking it out of the truck to put it in that place.
And moving sucks, man.
Yeah, it does. But I did find some old like poetry I wrote in like high school, and so we had a good laugh at that, both my own and my wife's. And so there you go. I think it helps you realize, like, you know what, you know, your kids, and they grow up and they're gonna be 17, 18. You're gonna look at them like, man, these kids are stupid. Like, what are they doing? And you're like, you know what? Let me read this this art that I created when I was 17, 18, and realize maybe I was pretty stupid also. You know? You kind of forget it. You're like, I wasn't that dumb, yeah. Was I? No, you were.
I need this reminder of and humbling.
I was like, wow, I really thought I was profound here, right? Look at this. Look at this crap.
So did you KonMari that bad boy, or did you frame it?
No, I mean, I got rid of it.
Yeah,
it was all I could do to just not immediately crumple it up, right? I was like, here, go ahead, read this.
Yeah.
It was pretty terrible. Anyway, so that's what's kind of happening now. You're going through some old stuff. So programming will be back to its regular levels right now, like partner dust, etc. All those other cliches and silly things. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Mean Green Nation podcast. Go Mean Green.
Go Mean Green.